Turn to number 17 in your green book, in the Singing Journey, number 17.
Let us pray. Good and loving God, source of every grace and blessing, we bring you thanks as we gather today for the many gifts that you have given us. We seek to be good stewards, Lord. Bless us as we gather here to share your gifts. Send us your spirit and be present among us in the mouths of all who speak, in the ears of all who listen, and at the heart of all we say and do. Amen. Last summer, I was traveling from Denver to Cleveland to attend a fundraiser for my sister, who had just been diagnosed with lung cancer. The fundraiser was a huge family and community effort. Sitting next to me on the plane were two strangers, but they soon were embarked on a conversation about their lives in Cleveland. At one point, I asked them a question, and soon the three of us were talking. They wanted to know why I was flying to Cleveland from my home in Denver. I told them the story of my sister, Gail, and the fundraising event I was going to attend. They asked me many questions about Gail, my family, and the fundraiser, and I shared the story. As the plane parked at the gate and we were getting up to leave, both of them reached into their wallets and handed me money. I must say I was shocked and momentarily had no words, but when I got my voice back, I said, Can I have your address or cell phone numbers? Both immediately responded with a no, no, no. We just want to be a part of your sister's event. Just tell her we care. I share this story because I believe it illustrates what being a good steward of our money and possessions can look like. I have no idea what each of their faith walk looks like, but I do know they heard my story and it stirred something in their hearts and they gave freely, knowing they would get nothing in return. This, to me, is truly generosity. So what does it mean to live a life of generosity? Recently, a colleague of mine shared this in a daily devotional we receive at Everence. He says, living a life of generosity is our way of pushing back against the culture of consumerism and power that rules our age. We need to order our lives to create and facilitate a cup that overflows. Living a life that overflows, a generous life, is an act of devotion to God. Money and possessions are a gift from God. We all know that, but do we really believe it? We have all probably heard the verse from James 1:17, which says, every generous act of giving with every perfect gift is from above. How better to respond than with gratitude? We know that God is the creator of all life, which includes nurturing and giving generously of our time, our talents, and our vocations, remembering our neighbors and all of creation. Are we living it? What does it look like? In the scripture read earlier, it appears Paul is detecting a scarcity mindset in the Corinthian church. Instead of being grateful for all they have, there is a sense that there is not enough to go around, so they must protect what they have. This mindset of not enough tends to lead to selfishness rather than generosity. According to Walter Brueggemann, a renowned biblical scholar, in his book Money and Possessions, he states that it is an exceedingly important claim that in a society like ours that easily imagines it is self-sufficient in its unrestrained eagerness for more, When the giver of all good gifts is forgotten, the gifts themselves are sure to be distorted in destructive ways. When we compare ourselves with others, we lose sight of the needs of the world and we stop trusting God to provide. Paul reminds us that God does provide everything we need. So we need a shift in our mindset, one that rediscovers the abundance within our midst, one where fear of not having enough is replaced with hope for today and the future. How can we teach the mind to operate from mercy and graciousness? What a different concept it would be if we would look at the world through the eyes of abundance. Instead of always thinking there is not enough, we see needs through the lens of mercy. I can't help but think my two friends on the plane saw my sister through the eyes of mercy and grace. Lynn Twist, in her book, The Soul of Money, says it this way. When we live in the context of sufficiency, we find a natural freedom and integrity. We engage in life from a sense of our own wholeness rather than a desperate longing to be complete. Having an abundance mindset and lifestyle opens us up to opportunities to give. We symbolically hold our resources with an open hand, waiting for God's leading. We can also expect to be transformed through acts of generosity and shouldn't be surprised to discover that as a people of God, we actually have a need to give. After all, we are made in God's image. Back to my opening story about my sister. I don't think my two friends on the plane ever thought of their gift as being one of God's leading, but it was. And it was a great example to me of generosity at its deepest level, giving extravagantly from the heart. Let me read the verse from 2 Corinthians 9:11, which states, "You will be enriched in every way for your great generosity." Giving with extravagance stretches us and can't be done haphazardly. Extravagant giving is an attitude of giving that is unexpectedly joyous and from the heart. I believe people who practice extravagant giving must change their lives in order to become more generous. It is an intentional response, and when they see a need, they give, and with joy, and don't wait to be asked, just like my two friends on the plane. There is always a way to give extravagantly, and it doesn't mean we have to be rich to be generous givers. I can't help but think of the poor widow who dropped two mites into the treasury and was noticed by Jesus as giving extravagantly from her heart and will always be remembered for her generosity. Where is God leading you? Knowing that all we have is truly God's and that we have been entrusted with God's resources, then giving to the church seems to be an important response. One reason people give is because they love their church and they want the life-changing ministries of their congregation to prosper. Is that happening here in our congregation at Glennon Heights Mennonite? Cliff Christopher, in his book, Not Your Parents' Offering Plate, discusses relevant information for those involved in congregational leadership who are looking to keep the vision for giving alive. Some of his ideas are rather edgy, but as he describes early on in his book, Society, the Church, and the Offering Plate of the Church of the 21st Century has seen dramatic changes. As a result of these changes, how the church addressed generosity and stewardship issues 50 years ago may not work today. We see a diminished loyalty to the local church, as well as an increased sophistication in fundraising efforts by parachurch and civic organizations which, like it or not, are competing for your heart and dollars. Christopher challenges us to reflect on what we have been doing and to ask ourselves if we think it will keep us financially solvent in maintaining current ministry needs and as we add new initiatives for future outreach. One of his challenges is we have become too complacent in general about the expectation for our members. He feels that leadership needs to be more assertive with challenging church members toward greater stewardship, faithfulness in the ways we earn, save, spend, and share with our financial resources. Christopher notes that the churches that are growing today are those who have raised the expectations about giving and regular church attendance. We are living in an era of growing consumerism and mistrust of institutions. We need the church more than ever to share with intention and integrity the impact of stewardship practices through stories of the Spirit's diverse and beautiful work among us. Congregations that shy away from these subjects tend not to attract seekers looking to grow and be challenged spiritually. And can the church compete with the clamorous claims of contemporary culture? Are we equipping disciples to live each moment with an awareness of God's abundance and to respond generously? How are we transmitting Jesus' great love command and our call to live out those words to the best of our ability by grace and through the gift of the Holy Spirit? In what ways are we encouraging families with children to foster gratitude and thankfulness that will counter the individual messages of consumer culture? And thanks, Heidi, for your children's story. I think that's one way we can encourage families and children. A very good lesson for all of us, actually. It doesn't take much awareness to realize that our society is obsessed with money and financial gain, just like the game of life, and the whole goal of the game of life is to get bigger and better. Up-to-date stock quotes are available over the internet, bookstores are filled with books on how to make money, and numerous entire magazines are devoted to the same goal. That doesn't even address all the ads and the ads urging us to spend money as fast as we make it, or even faster if you can use your credit card. Not surprisingly, savings in America is at a low rate while debt is soaring, especially credit card debt. A mindset of generosity encourages seeking everyone, members, staff, pastors, friends, as people with all kinds of gifts to share. Money is only part of the equation, but a necessary part. So where are the signs of generosity here at Glennon Heights Mennonite Now? How can you participate, encourage, and lift up these signs and missions? What else can you do to reframe current practices so that they reflect a more generous spirit? Are we sharing our generosity stories? And I want to stop here. I preached this same sermon at Boulder Mennonite in May, and afterwards I taught a Sunday school class, and we decided to share generosity stories before we did the hospitalities Sunday school class I was doing. And I was amazed as I sat and listened to that group of people sharing stories from Russia all over the country. I mean, it was amazing. And it was stories that they said they hadn't thought about for a long time, but wonderful stories of generosity with members of their family, their grandparents, their children. I really want to encourage us, maybe during a Sunday school hour sometime, to do that, because I think we'll find it to be a wonderful exercise in realizing how generous we have been and we can share with others. I think we want to share materially to where we are fed spiritually. Are we committed to giving faithfully and joyfully to the church? We need, as a church, as parents and family, to teach on giving. I challenge us that all things belong to God, are given to us as stewards of all God's gifts and possessions. First fruits giving means that we begin with the end in mind. We prioritize giving over accumulating. We place the needs of others before our own. We acknowledge that resources may be currently in our grasp and directed by us, but again, they belong to God. Our whole lives belong to God, who is our beginning and our end. Generosity is often born from gratitude. Recognizing that all of life is a gift, we are more likely to share of that gift as an act of thanksgiving and to respond with gratitude to the giver. Cultivating a climate of gratitude helps grow future acts of generosity. I want to read from the verse from 1 Peter 4:10, which says, "Like good stewards of the manifold grace of God, serve one another with whatever gift you have, with whatever gift each of you has received." Proportionate giving provides a place and gives value to the full spectrum of giving. That spectrum begins with the widow's mite and extends all the way to my friends on the plane. There is a place for everyone. Every authentic, heartfelt offering is noticed and valued. God looks for and delights in our free will offerings. Free will means what it says. It does not mean something that has been manipulated or demanded from us or given because of guilt or condemnation that has been placed upon us. I am sure many of you, like I said, could also share stories about extravagant giving, and many of you have friends and family who are very generous. And again, I want to encourage us this morning to share those stories. And I want to end like a popular, this sort of dates me, Paul Harvey, who used to say the rest of the story, and now the rest of the story. So I left the airplane and walked out to where my sister Gail was waiting to pick me up. I immediately shared my story and took out the bills my friends had given me. I was astounded to find $90 in my hand from these two strangers. Gail immediately and without hesitation exclaimed, "Rhoda, this is perfect. Tonight, Frank and I are going to a fundraiser for another friend who was recently diagnosed with cancer. I will add $10 to the $90 from your friends and we'll pay it forward." That, my friends, is extravagant generosity. Thank you.
Number 369 in the hymnal. Number 369. Let's stand if you're able.